Chapter 8. The next morning, the whole party of them sets out for Hutao, the road thick with horses and carriages. Sui Zhou and Dwarla ride near the head of the caravan, behind the front line of Chen Yue and his soldiers, Tang Fan riding with Deng Ar and Jin San not far behind them. Jin San had disappeared at some point before Tang Fan had left the tent last night, and he rides this morning with a lazy, satisfied slouch.
"Perhaps I should learn the Oirat tongue," he comments at length, "to honor my ancestors."
Tang Fan snorts. "I'm sure they are looking over you with great pride."
Jin San raises an eyebrow at him.
"And why shouldn't they? I have been a good son. I have returned to the motherland."
"Wu Yin can teach you," Deng Ar says, "and Sui Daga knows some too, from his time in the war."
"Ah, but I don't think they'll be around long enough, Deng Ar," Jin San says.
Tang Fan turns to him swiftly. "You're staying?"
Jin San shrugs. "I'm thinking about it."
The Zoro's party pours into He Tao after nightfall, dispersing into the taverns and inns, leaving just the core group to arrive on Wangsha's doorstep. He's standing at the top of the stairs again, dressed in red and gold and looking very smug. He bows to Dwarla as she dismounts.
"Wangsha hopes that Dwarla Guanji will consider his home her own."
Dwarla gives him an incredulous look, then glances briefly towards Wu Yin.
Wu Yin shrugs back as if to convey, "You got yourself into this." Awkwardly, Dwarla bows in return.
Dwarla thanks Wang Daren for his hospitality. There are more than enough rooms to spare in the governor's house. It was built for a family, after all. Though they all gather around the enormous dining table for a late-night meal before retiring for the night, Wangsha begs off, preferring to wait until more formal proceedings tomorrow. After the meal is laid out on the table, Tang Fan finds himself in an unexpected battle to serve food onto Dwarla and Sui Zhou's plates before they can get any onto his. Deng Ar watches with wide eyes before crying out, "Leave some for the rest of us!" They finally settle into eating, and when he comes up for air, Tang Fan looks around the table and marvels that he gets to have this. The only thing missing, aside from Sui Zhou's cooking, of course, are Tang Yu, Pei Huai, and Cheng Er. And Tang Fan feels a sudden surge of homesickness.
"Will there be a big wedding when we get home?" Deng Er asks, as if her thoughts have followed the same path as his own.
Sui Zhou nods.
"They will want to celebrate the union of the Ming and Oirat. Wangsha has been in communication with the Forbidden Palace already."
"But will we have a party?"
Deng Er clarifies. Tang Fan smiles, appreciating the honesty of the question. He is dreading the weeks of formalities himself. He knows the wedding for such a politically important match will bear little resemblance to the warmth of Tang Yu and Pei Huai's celebration. Sui Zhou smiles at her, nods.
"When it is all done, I will make our favorite foods."
Deng Er smiles happily, digging back into her supper. And Sui Zhou shifts his gaze to meet Tang Fan's, his eyes warm and smile soft. The next few days are taken up with long discussions of formalities and preparations made for returning to the capital. Their party will not be as lean coming back as it was on the journey there. Wangsha insists on a military escort, and of course the Khan has sent along an equal number of Oirat warriors. In the midst of it all, Jin San understatedly announces his intentions to stay by telling Tang Fan he's moved out of the inn to rent a small house with a stable and a carriage yard on the outskirts of town. Tang Fan brings him the remainder of his fee for services rendered and an offer from Wu Yin to loan him the carriage long term. "Will you ever come back to the capital? I can take a letter if you like." Jin San shrugs, though accepts the offer of ink and paper. "It's not for the likes of us to know what the future holds," he tells Tang Fan cryptically. Tang Fan suspects that what Jin San's future holds is more of Qingge, and that perhaps he won't return to the capital before she does. Wang Xie is in his element, holding court from sunrise to sunset in his reception room, and Tang Fan can see the shift in Borona Hala's impression of him, from suspicious to grudgingly admiring. It is impossible to find flaws in any of Wang Xie's proposals or ulterior motives. He remains, as always, dedicated to Ming. It's hard to find his relentless loyalty anything other than admirable. As much as Tang Fan is the least anxious he's been for days, all the activity is still exhausting. The night before they're due to leave, Tang Fan sits on the edge of the bed, running a comb through his hair automatically, his eyes unfocused as he stares at the floor. His mind walks through the steps they need to take to get home for the 1,000th time, and wanders off into the distance after he reaches the end. Suddenly he blinks, looks up. Sui Zhou is standing in front of the small wash basin, washing his face. The bare skin of his chest is bronze in the lantern light, his trousers slung low over his hips. "Sui Zhou," Tang Fan says, and he looks over, meeting Tang Fan's eyes. "You don't have to get married after this." Sui Zhou frowns in confusion, rinsing his hands off in the basin of water.
"After this?"
"After you marry Dwarla."
Sui Zhou pats his face dry, then crosses the room to Tang Fan. His expression looks as though he's concerned for Tang Fan's sanity. He sits down on the bed next to Tang Fan.
"No, I don't."
He gently takes the comb, turns Tang Fan to face forward with his hands on Tang Fan's shoulders.
"It's just, it's easier to say while he's turned away." Sui Zhou takes up where Tang Fan left off, running the comb smoothly through his hair. "I can stay. You can keep cooking me dinner. I can keep mending your clothes." Tang Fan feels drunk with tiredness, with the relief that comes from this sudden realization, with Sui Zhou's gentle touch in his hair. Sui Zhou pauses in his combing, then scoops Tang Fan's hair up and pours it over the front of his shoulder.
"Yes," he says slowly,
his voice a little strange.
"That's the idea."
Tang Fan turns to look at him over his shoulder. Sui Zhou's expression is bemused. Tang Fan has underestimated his intelligence vastly. He gets his knees under him, climbs into Sui Zhou's lap. Sui Zhou's hands land on his hips first, then slide down to his thighs, one coming to rest over the bandage still wrapped around Tang Fan's leg. It's healing quickly, the stitches barely pulling now. Tang Fan slings his arms over Sui Zhou's shoulders. "I thought the idea was to rescue her from a life of captivity and foster unity between Oirat and Ming." He thinks he sees Sui Zhou flushed a little.
"I suppose those are also worthwhile reasons,"
Sui Zhou says, as if it's an afterthought. And while he's teasing, the foundation of honesty in his tone is breathtaking. Tang Fan wonders at himself that he ever thought this was just an exercise in bodily comfort for Sui Zhou. He feels as though he's been handed a bolong, his thumb placed on the trigger. The potential for great control or great destruction is immense. Sui Zhou is watching him curiously. Tang Fan curls his toes into the bed covering. "Kiss me," he instructs. Sui Zhou obeys without pause, hand pressing between Tang Fan's shoulder blades, lips clinging to Tang Fan's. Tang Fan pulls him in closer, pressing their chests together, feeling the warmth of Sui Zhou's bare skin through the thin fabric of his own undershirt. His heartbeat picks up, anticipating more, even as he luxuriates in the slick heat of Sui Zhou's mouth. He pulls away after long moments, admiring Sui Zhou's red mouth, his flushed cheeks. "Lie down," he says, pushing Sui Zhou's chest lightly, and he swings his legs off Sui Zhou's lap so Sui Zhou can shuffle backwards up the bed, resting his head on the pillow. His chest is rising and falling with swift breaths, and Tang Fan climbs back onto his hips, running his hands over Sui Zhou's bare skin. He doesn't feel so tired anymore, his eyelids now heavy with desire instead of sleepiness. Sui Zhou stares up at him, eyes dark. Usually Tang Fan is the one lying back while Sui Zhou does all the work, but Tang Fan is nothing if not keen to learn, to experiment. He shuffles his knees back a little, then adjusts his stance to push Sui Zhou's legs open so he can slide his uninjured thigh between them. He lowers himself down to sprawl over Sui Zhou, straddling one of Sui Zhou's thighs himself, rubbing his half-hard cock against the firm muscle. Sui Zhou's hips flex, and Tang Fan tucks his thigh in more tightly, giving him pressure to push against. Sui Zhou looks at him like he just invented fire. He takes Tang Fan's face in his hands and kisses him, the heat growing between them with the increased intensity of his mouth. They roll their hips against each other, not parting more than a hair's breadth to breathe every now and then. Tang Fan running his hand over Sui Zhou's bare torso, caressing the swell of his pectoral, the tuck of his waist, while Sui Zhou shoves his hand up under the back of Tang Fan's shirt, stroking the small of his back. It doesn't take much for Tang Fan. After hardly any time has passed, he's rutting against Sui Zhou's leg, his underclothes damp against the tip of his stiff cock. Sui Zhou's body, delicious pressure against the length of it. Sui Zhou bends his other leg, giving himself more leverage to thrust up, and slides his hand under Tang Fan's clothes to grasp Tang Fan's backside, urging him forward. Tang Fan thrusts and comes, embarrassingly quickly, gasping into Sui Zhou's welcoming mouth and shuddering. He goes limp afterwards, panting breathlessly as he drapes himself over Sui Zhou, pressing his open mouth to the blazing skin of Sui Zhou's chest. He can't fall asleep. Not yet. Sui Zhou is combing his fingers through Tang Fan's hair, and Tang Fan can feel the urgency in the gesture. He lifts his upper body up, bracing himself on one elbow so he can reach down, picking loose the knot of Sui Zhou's trousers, shoving his hand into Sui Zhou's underclothes. "Oh, Run Qing," Sui Zhou gasps as Tang Fan grasps his cock. It's so lovely in his hand, like silk wrapped over steel. Tang Fan looks down, stroking up and angling his wrist so the tip of Sui Zhou's cock peeks above the rucked fabric of his underclothes. Tang Fan will never get tired of looking. Soon, he thinks, he will try tasting, but perhaps the time when he's not about to fall asleep. Perhaps when they are home, in Sui Zhou's house, in their own bed. The thought coils deliciously through him, and he strokes Sui Zhou slowly, lovingly, as he curls against Sui Zhou's side, until Sui Zhou groans and clutches at him, begging. Then he strokes faster, watching now the tightness in Sui Zhou's brow, the way he bites his lip, the way his mouth drops wide open and he throws his head back when he comes. Tang Fan wipes his hand on his own trousers and strokes Sui Zhou's arms gently as his breathing slows again, as his brow softens. Tang Fan started this. So much as he just wants to close his eyes and sleep, he will not be so rude as to not clean up first. He didn't really think this through, Tang Fan realizes, grimacing at the mess of his underclothes as he clambers off the bed. They are leaving tomorrow morning, and everything that needed to be cleaned for the journey has already been cleaned. He strips off, fetching a clean rag and returning to the bed to wipe off Suizo's belly with it. Suizo watches him, eyes half-lidded. Tang Fan can't help but smile.
Go to sleep, he urges.
Suizo's eyes are still open when Tang Fan returns to bed in clean underclothes, though it looks like it's a struggle. He welcomes Tang Fan into his arms and sighs contentedly when Tang Fan pulls the blankets and furs up over them.
Guang Chuan,
Tang Fan whispers hesitantly after a moment, his own eyelids sticky. There was something he had wanted to say. It keeps slipping out of his sleepy grasp. It doesn't matter, though. Suizo is already asleep. The journey home is slow. With a larger party, it takes far longer to pitch and break up camp at the end and start of every day. Apparently, such high-status travelers need to sleep in tents. One large tent, anyway. The soldiers and Oirat warriors sleep outside, and Tang Fan finds he misses waking up during the night to see Suizo lying next to him, his face lit by starlight. Worse still is that, for propriety's sake, he and Suizo can't share a bedroll. They have barely touched each other since they set off, and Tang Fan is both outraged at himself and their circumstances for how much he misses it. Every glance they share, every brief touch to the other's shoulder, is loaded with meaning. And it takes Duarla, steering her horse up close alongside Tang Fan's, to whisper harshly, "Stop trying to steal my husband!" for him to realize he's not being quite as subtle as he thinks he is. Duarla grins and winks at him wickedly as she rides away, and Tang Fan stares fixedly ahead, ignoring Suizo turning to him curiously, trying to will down the flush rising in his cheeks. What have they gotten into, inviting her to live with them? The days are longer, though, so maybe that balances things out in terms of timing. They definitely get to travel further each day. With Jin San left behind, though, Tang Fan misses his regular training sessions. He considers taking Suizo up on his old offer to spar, but quickly realizes it would not end appropriately for an audience. Perhaps when they are home, and into a routine, Tang Fan can pick it up again. When he is no longer looking at Guang Chuan as though he is a spring feast and you haven't eaten for days, according to Duarla. It gets warmer the further south they get as well, the clothes they'd brought uncomfortably warm for the tail end of spring. Though, at least they are due to arrive home before the proper start of the wet season. When they finally hit the outskirts of the capital late in the morning of the 30th day, Tang Fan thinks he might cry. Chen Yue splits off once they enter the Dongzhi Gate, giving Suizo a serious nod with a promise to visit in a few days. Tang Fan is aching from days in the saddle, sweaty and stinking like horse, but they can't go home just yet. Instead, they make their way to the iron market first to settle the Oirat delegation and stable the mounts. They halt outside first, Suizo drawing Deng Ar and Tang Fan aside. He dismounts, gesturing for them to do the same.
"I suspect Duarla and Wu Yin will be caught up here for some time," Suizo says.
Already, the delegation is flooding into the market to cries of welcome. Duarla and Wu Yin dismount next to them.
"Dinner tonight at Donggu's?"
Suizo asks them. They nod. Then someone in the market catches sight of Duarla. She's drawn away from them and into the crowd with a huge amount of noise and enthusiasm. Wu Yin takes the reins of the horses and smiles at them. The walk back home feels like the longest part of the journey. Tang Fan is overwhelmed by the sounds and smells crowding him from all sides, so innately familiar, yet fresh and intense from being away for so long. They pick up some food from their favorite street vendors when they are close to home, aware that there are no ingredients to cook with in the kitchen. Tang Fan can't decide what he wants to do first when they get there. Have a bath? Change into something more appropriate for the weather, or simply fall into bed. The meat skewers help to pick up some of his energy, though, which is a good thing. because when they arrive, it's to find people already in the courtyard.
Daga,
Xue Ling says hurriedly, bowing as he sees them. I heard you were arriving and came to open up the house, but... His eyes dart to the three men standing nearby. From their uniforms, Tang Fan can tell they are imperial eunuchs.
Sui Daren, Tang Daren,
one of them says, standing slightly in front of the others and bowing.
This one welcomes you back from your journey. Bixia requires your attendance.
Tang Fan slumps, looking down at his travel-worn robes. He glances desperately towards the house, only paces away. I'm sure Bixia would appreciate these humble officials visiting him in more suitable clothing, he says, smiling broadly and returning the bow, meat skewer still in hand. The man smiles, not rising from his bow just yet.
Bixia insists that you attend him immediately.
Sui Zhou puts his hand on Tang Fan's shoulder. When Tang Fan looks at him, he nods. The look on Sui Zhou's face makes Tang Fan feel uneasy. Sui Zhou holds his gaze for a beat more, then turns to Dong Ar.
Clean and rest up, he says, handing her a pouch of silver. When you are ready, fetch supplies from the market. Whatever you like.
Dong Ar nods at him, looking just as exhausted as Tang Fan feels, her brow tightening a little in concern. She walks past them and into the house. Sui Zhou bows to the men.
We will accompany you now.
Tang Fan's unease only increases as they walk to the Forbidden Palace in silence. Questions and concerns crowd behind his teeth. But he can't ask Sui Zhou any of them with the Imperial eunuchs walking silently behind them. They might as well be escorted by an armed guard.
It's all right,
Sui Zhou mutters under his breath as they are handed off to the Emperor's personal attendant outside his receiving room.
Trust me.
In recent history, trusting Sui Zhou has worked out well for Tang Fan. Now the words just cause a weak flutter of nervousness in his belly. He's far from reassured. The palace is so immaculate, so opulent after being on the border. When they are called in, they both step inside silently, keeping their eyes down as they kneel and kowtow onto the gleaming tiles. The polished stone fogs up from Tang Fan's breath, and he squeezes his eyes shut for a moment before speaking. Long live our emperor! Long live! Long live! He hears a huff of breath from the podium.
Get up,
says the emperor briskly. Tang Fan rises slowly, aware of Sui Zhou doing the same at his side.
Bixia,
Sui Zhou says, bowing forward again, and Tang Fan hurries to do the same.
So you abandoned your post at the Imperial Guard,
the emperor says to Sui Zhou, and Tang Fan's blood turns to ice in his veins,
to go and find yourself an Oirat bride.
It's a statement, not a question. Sui Zhou remains with his head bowed. Tang Fan could kill him. Bixia, Tang Fan starts, but Sui Zhou talks over him.
Bixia, Sui Zhou left without permission. Sui Zhou abandoned the Imperial Guard without leadership.
Sui Zhou kneels again, presses his forehead to the ground.
Sui Zhou deserves to be executed.
Tang Fan stares at him, horrified. Trust me, Sui Zhou had said. This was his plan? Tang Fan regrets ever thinking he possessed any intelligence whatsoever. Why isn't Wang Xia here?
Get up,
the emperor says in the same inscrutable tone he has conducted the conversation so far. Sui Zhou stands, but keeps his head still bowed.
Wang Xia kept me appraised of all aspects of your plan, since before you left the capital.
He turns his gaze onto Tang Fan.
Wang Xia also told me that you were instrumental in thwarting a plot to assassinate him and incite conflict between Ming and Oirat.
Bixia, Tang Fan bows his head again. It was all I could do to fulfill my duty to Ming. The emperor acknowledges, unreadable. He turns back to Sui Zhou. Wangsha also wrote at length of the benefit this union with the Oirat princess will bring to the Ming. Suizhou stays silent, eyes down. Tangfan presses his tongue hard to the back of his teeth. It certainly has potential, the emperor continues. The palace will facilitate proceedings in recognition of your connection to the Empress Dowager. You will not have time to work as an imperial guard. You are suspended from your duties until such time as the emperor sees fit to reinstate you. Suizhou lifts his arms in another bow. Bixia, Suizhou is grateful for the emperor's mercy. You will visit the Empress Dowager as soon as possible, the emperor says, as she is eager to learn more about your mystery bride. The sharp edge to the tone does not go unnoticed. Suizhou bows even lower. The emperor waves his hand to dismiss them. Tangfan bows hurriedly, heart pounding as he and Suizhou exit the receiving room. No reward this time, then. Tangfan isn't sure what he was expecting, but it wasn't for Suizhou to escape by the skin of his teeth. What were you thinking? He hisses as they walk through the great walkways. Suizhou looks weary. Tangfan rather thinks he should look relieved. They reach a juncture in the walkways and come to a halt. Suizhou turns to him. That our friend needed help, he says simply. Tangfan takes a deep breath through his nose, huffs it out. Suizhou smiles faintly. I need to visit the Empress Dowager, he says. Dressed like that? Tangfan eyes his travel-stained robes. Suizhou shrugs. I will likely be groveling on the floor anyway. Tangfan lifts his hand to brush a frazzled lock of hair away from Suizhou's face, then drops it again, before touching him. Come home soon? Suizhou nods, his smile saying everything they can't share here. If I'm not home in 2 hours, I will see you at Donggu's tonight. Tangfan nods. They can talk about Suizhou being suspended indefinitely from the Imperial Guard later. Try not to volunteer yourself for execution again, he says primly. Suizhou bows respectfully. This former guard will endeavor not to disappoint his Xiangdi. Tangfan smacks his arm, trying not to laugh at Suizhou's smirk as he rises. Go! Suizhou starts walking again, turning at the crossroads. Tangfan watches him for a moment, then continues straight ahead. By the time Tangfan gets home, Dengar has returned from the market and is busy putting everything away in the kitchen. All the doors of the house are open onto the courtyard, letting in the fresh spring air. Where's Sui, Daga? Dengar asks when Tangfan appears. Facing his reckoning with the Empress Dowager, Tangfan responds, plucking a plum from the piles of fresh vegetables on the bench and taking a bite. The bathwater is still hot, Dengar tells him, and Tangfan hums in excitement, jumping down the steps from the kitchen and hurrying across the courtyard to his room. It's just as he left it months ago. Even with the remains of his last joss stick in a dish on the sideboard near the door next to his futo. Holding the plum in his teeth, Tangfan digs through his clothes chest to find his lighter robes and clean underclothes, throwing the former onto his bed and tucking the latter under his arm before making his way to the bathhouse. Immersing himself to scrub a month's worth of dust and horse from his body is blissful. Afterwards, instead of putting his fresh robes on, he lies down on the bed to rest for a moment, and wakes with the late afternoon sun in his eyes and Dengar calling his name. Tangfan squints into the doorway. Is Suizhou back yet? He asks sleepily. Dengar steps into the room, shaking her head. Tangfan huffs in disappointment. He said if he wasn't home, he would meet us at Donggu's. I am going to visit Tang Ai, Pei Daifu, and Chang'ar, Dengar says, and invite them to dinner with us. I don't know if Tang Ai knows about Dwarla Jia yet. Tangfan sits up, grimacing at the creased robe beneath him. I will come with you. Tang Yu has not heard the news. She looks from Dongar to Tang Fan with wide eyes. Then, when Tang Fan nods, falls against his chest, sobbing. Tang Fan embraces her, guilt sharp in his chest. He should have sent her a letter. He had been distracted.
How?
Pei Huai asks, mouth open, blinking rapidly.
How?
Dongar makes tea while Tang Fan explains, and continues on to tell the story of Dwarla's rescue as well. By the end of it, Dongar is sipping tea quietly while Pei Huai and Tang Yu stare at Tang Fan, speechless, their own cups forgotten.
Dwarla marrying Guang Chuan?
Tang Yu asks, disbelieving. Tang Fan nods, finally picking up his own cup. It is an ingenious solution, really. Though luckily Wangsha softened up the emperor about it. Otherwise Guang Chuan might have lost his head over it by now. Tang Fan holds his pressed together hands in the direction of the Forbidden Palace, giving an exaggerated grimace. Tang Yu and Pei Huai are still staring at him.
We're all going to live together, Dongar says into the silence. Though Tang Daga may have to share Sui Daga's room, so Dwarla and Wu Yin each have somewhere to sleep.
They're staring at Dongar now. She takes another sip of her tea. Tang Fan shrugs.
Sacrifices must be made.
Tang Yu grips Pei Huai's hand under the table. Tang Fan can tell from the sudden movement of her arm and his stifled yelp. Tang Fan frowns at them.
Ah, Tang Fan,
Pei Huai says at last. A trip to the border seems to have done you good. Perhaps I should prescribe such journeys to some of my patients.
Tang Fan pulls a face.
They should go in summer. I cannot recommend visiting in winter. Later, they walk to Dong's restaurant as the sun sets. Dwarla and Wu Yin are already there, and Donggu helps them push more tables together, then brings them enough wine to go around and soybeans to snack on. Tang Fan is worrying the beans out of the pod with his teeth when there's a touch to his shoulder. He looks up. Sui Zhou is standing behind him, his blue embroidered robes made of the same fabric as the twilight. Tang Fan bobs upright in his seat, beaming.
Guang Chuan, you're clean. Where have you been?
Sui Zhou smiles, sits down in the empty spot that seems to have suddenly opened up next to Tang Fan.
I went home. You had left already.
Tang Fan was catching us up on the latest news, Guang Chuan,
Tang Yu says from across the table, smiling so warmly in the fresh lantern light that she nearly glows.
Congratulations are in order.
It's late when they return home again, the spring air warm and sweet with the scent of blossoming fruit trees. Tang Fan hasn't drunk enough to have any effect beyond a loose-limbed relaxation, but he drags his feet a little as he walks, swaying into Sui Zhou's side until Sui Zhou presses a steadying hand to his back. Dongar is yawning, barely lifting her feet high enough to step over the entryway to their home. She waves goodnight, covering yet another yawn with her other hand as Sui Zhou closes the gate. Tang Fan waits for him in the courtyard. When Sui Zhou meets him there, Tang Fan takes his hands. Sui Zhou had told them at dinner what the following weeks would bring. If the Empress Dowager couldn't play matchmaker for him, then she could make sure his wedding was executed with the appropriate level of formality. Commencing that very week. They still haven't spoken about Sui Zhou's indefinite suspension, though. Tang Fan examines his face in the starlight, seeing it suddenly limned in gold as Dongar lights a lamp in her room behind him. He looks relaxed, happy.
You know I have always wanted your room, Sui Zhou, Tang Fan admits, since the day I moved here.
Sui Zhou had thrown his satchel out into the courtyard, so Tang Fan had emptied the contents of his house into it a few days later.
Let's sleep in your bed tonight, Sui Zhou says. I never did try your favorite pillow.
Ulterior motives, Tang Fan says,
stepping in closer until he's smiling against Sui Zhou's lips. I expected more of you, Guangchuan. Sui Zhou kisses him. It is everything Tang Fan expected, and more. Bai Zhui to Yuan Chen. Early 9th century. Last night, the clouds scattered everywhere. For 1,000 leagues, the same moon color. At dawn's coming, I saw you in dreams. It must be you were thinking of me. In my dreams, I grasped your hand, asked you what your thoughts were. You said you thought of me with pain, had no one to send a letter through. When I awoke, I still had not spoken in reply. A knock on the door sounded, rap, rap, saying, a messenger from Shangzhou. He delivered a letter of yours. From the pillow I rose, sudden and startled, putting my clothes topsy-turvy. I opened the seal, saw the hand letter. One sheet, 13 lines.